Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. We are live at NJRR North Studios, not just on Facebook, but on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and there's going to be more coming thanks to your donations and your support. We're growing the revolution here at New Jersey. We look forward to a big year. We're developing more platforms like this, and it's been thanks to contributions from people in the amounts of $10, $20, $30. Every once in a while, we get a $50 contribution. We're grateful for every little bit that we get. We're grateful for all our sponsors. We're grateful for those of you that are sharing this out right now and helping us grow. So we're back into it with our first kind of regular show of the year with my partner. I'm Brian Powers, and my partner here is Diane Moxley. How are you, Diane?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Good. My shoulder's killing me. I pinched a nerve. I don't know. I take a nap in the afternoon. I have this weird work schedule where I wake up in the morning and I work for a couple hours, and then the kids are at school, so the house is quiet. So I get a couple hours sleep, and then I'm up till 3 a.m. doing like a second shift. And something happened during afternoon sleep today that I woke up and my shoulder is just like ice in it.
But yoga.
How long have I been saying I'm going to start doing yoga? 5 years.
So I think we're going to do a live stream.
When I start yoga.
A yoga live stream. No, we're going to do a yoga live stream.
You know, it's not a bad thing. Wellness is something, you know, that's going around. And for those of you, Justice Poetry Night, 360 Poetry Night with Justice, has been getting more into the wellness. Not only does he do art and stuff there, but I think he's going to have an event around wellness. Mm-hmm. He is one of his features with somebody that did a little bit of a meditation during their performance.
Oh, great.
So wellness is definitely a thing. Maybe we will do a show around yoga, and I could use a good stretch.
So we can bring somebody in to do a couple of just moves for back and your shoulder, things like that. And then we could, you know, I hate sometimes there's controversy around the whole activist self-care.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll even talk about that.
You know? I did want to get in one thing. We did our New Year's Eve show, our New Year's Day show. Thank God. Margaret Kimberly from the Black Agenda Report was here. And if you get a chance to go check it out on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook channel, please do, because it was a great interview and a great way to start the year. Mm-hmm. But we didn't get to all of our resolutions. And I remembered one that I wanted to mention. Okay. Because most people know I enjoy trolling people on Facebook. It's one of the things I do that are fun for me, especially when I see, you know, right-wing comments.
It's kind of hard to resist.
It is.
Especially with PragerU for me personally. Yeah. I can't stop myself from trolling them.
Yeah, I call Holly Schapeze bourgeois scum. And, you know, these things get to them for some reason. So anyway, I see this article written by a state senator. And I've noticed this a lot in just mainstream media, people using the I word or illegals to describe, human beings. Mm-hmm. I take exception with this. And so do most people who are referred to in this manner. It's a dehumanizing term.
Yeah.
But what scares me is it seems to be almost going mainstream. What really disturbed me was a state senator after this wonderful victory that we were celebrating. And we know the real impact that it has on our immigrant comrades when they got this driver's license bill passed, and how happy they were and how much of a difference it makes in their lives.
Yeah.
And then you have these opposition people out there using this word to describe human beings in the headline of press releases. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to me, that's like, wait a sec, we've gotten so mainstream with racism that this is just normal. Mm-hmm. And in these right-wing circles, which granted we don't spend a lot of time in because of our politics, but like 101.5, which is essentially Klan radio and should be run out of New Jersey with pitchforks, is publishing press releases all the time. I'm looking over their website. They use this word as if it's normal. Mm. It's a racist, offensive term, and it shouldn't be in public civil discourse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it shouldn't. And it's not even an accurate term, even if you want to be a racist bigot.
Under international law, people are allowed to seek refuge in other countries if they're fleeing from persecution or violence. Mm-hmm. It's legal for them to be here. Yep. It's illegal for us to be throwing them in concentration camps under international law.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I made a New Year's resolution for New Jersey Revolution Radio and my comrades I'm asking you to join. When you see this word in the public discourse, whether it be in conversation, because I think there's, and it's gotten to the point where the ignorance is overtaking common sense and people think that this is okay. So it's being used even at times by people who don't have ill intentions.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to work its way into the lexicon to where people don't even realize that this is an offensive, dehumanizing term.
Yeah.
And my comment, you know, to 101.5 when I wrote them an email was, this is a dehumanizing term that ultimately leads to genocide. Mm-hmm. And you're either ignorant of that, which you can't be anymore because I just told you, or you don't care. So stop it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people don't get the kind of that language matters and that how you refer to other people matters, and that when you go and you use and you have media platforms and you're using that word or any kind of dehumanizing word, you're affecting society in a significant way. And it's got to come to an end. So I'm asking for some help with New Jersey Revolution Radio Live's New Year's resolution.
I wanted to talk about it. So correct it.
Just one little thing. I think a part of it is because there is no real differentiation between bourgeois media. We have the Washington Post, we have the Wall Street Journal, we have the New York Times all saying the same kind of things. So, and they may be using those terms, even though some of them pretend to be more progressive. But it just shows how media dictates public discourse, as Brian pointed out previously.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we have to make sure that people don't trip up and start getting tricked into being accidental racist bigots, which I don't believe that is.
I mean, language is one thing, but not to dismiss it at all, but, you know, I feel like there's more serious problems than just somebody using or misusing the term,
misusing it.
Which is, I don't know.
All right. So we wanted to do that. And I want to make sure everybody knows that they can visit us at www.njrevolutionradio.com, make a contribution. You can look back on last Friday, I believe it was, or last Saturday, Baman. When did we speak last? That was last Friday?
I think it was Friday.
Yeah. You know, I woke up, we learned about this assassination of General Soleimani. And I said, first thing I woke up in the morning, I was having coffee, and I said, I better call Baman. We better get on this. And so I thank you for responding right away. And it's been a series of kind of like surreal days. Those of us that remember the lead up to the Iraq wars, it was, you know, seeing the reports on the news, the kind of way people are talking about what's going on, it was reminiscent. I kind of had that same feeling. I get the same feeling on Christmas every year. It's a nice feeling. The air tastes like Christmas to me. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody. Probably doesn't. It's in my head. But there's like a feel to what's going on. And that feel was scary this time because it does feel to me like 1991 and the subsequent lead up to the second Iraq invasion. What do we know so far? Since we've talked about the assassination, there's been some rockets fired back and forth, reports that there were no casualties, but what's the latest and greatest?
But before we dive right in, I want to introduce our panelists. Thank you guys so much for coming into the studio this evening. So we're going to start with, on our far ends, John Lazowski is with the American Party of Labor.
Yep, that's correct.
We have Paulina Brick, also with the American Party of Labor.
Hello, yes.
Thank you. And we have Bahman Azad with U.S. Peace Council.
Yes.
Okay, hello. So thank you guys so much for coming down. And I know Brian and Bahman had a conversation on Friday. Yeah. And that was post-assassination of General Soleimani. And I know after that, we were all kind of at the edge of our seats, waiting for what was the next steps. So, shoot, who wants to go first to talk about where we are at today?
You sure? Okay. You go first.
Okay. So Qasem Soleimani was basically the second most important figure in Iran, the most important official, even more important than their president, actually, just one person under the supreme leader. This was their main foreign policy guy. He got his start in politics and military activity during the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. And he's been a very influential figure in Iran ever since. He's been involved in fights against ISIS. He's also he's basically one of the most important people in Iran, is what I'm trying to say. He was their top general, their most important military figure. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, he was a hero or anything, but in Iran, of course, he is very much perceived as a hero. When he was assassinated, there was a massive attendance at his funeral. Mm-hmm. People were just spilling out onto the streets. Possibly, maybe millions of people were coming out for this man. And
for the significance of one figure.
Yes, but it is sort of just one man. Like, mm-hmm. It kind of plays into the whole myth of the great man theory of history, mm-hmm. in a sense. But
the attack was so unsanctioned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The attack, President Trump ordered, mm-hmm. the attack by himself without consulting anybody else. Mm-hmm. And this plays into, mm-hmm. a whole role. It also shows a little bit of a break within the ruling class. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, we also see both the Republican and the Democratic, mm-hmm. Party being supportive of the, yes. assassination of...
Some of them are a little tricky with their wording. Mm-hmm. Like Elizabeth Warren came out and she said, she made this statement saying... Oh, going on and on, Soleimani was this horrible guy, blah, blah. He killed, mm-hmm. Americans. He did all these horrible things. He was a murderer and blah, blah. Oh, but also, by the way, it was wrong. It was a dangerous escalation for us to do this. It's like, wait, Elizabeth, you could have just come out and said and condemned this assassination. You could, mm-hmm. have just condemned the assassination right out of the gate instead of just apologizing for condemning it and making up all these, oh no, no, but he really was a bad guy, he really did deserve, mm-hmm. it. All
I
this,
do know what you mean, yeah. my comrade, mm-hmm. but don't you think that it's a constant, while you're right, and it shows that, you know, the electoral politics could be, first of all of them are just talking heads, mm-hmm. in a sense, mm-hmm. that even all of their promises, just like Trump's promises to withdraw all the troops, mm-hmm. and now we see the direct contradictions of his promises, as long, and also, mm-hmm. how he busted lots of unions and created anti-union laws on top of which he said he wouldn't do. But we see how this electoral system is just all hypocrisy, and there is a need for an independent workers' party.
Yes.
In that sense. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. because the Democrats and their resistance is completely failing on this issue. If you turn on CNN, you're just going to be hearing war propaganda. It's like war propaganda, but with the word "but" after it.
Yeah,
we shouldn't go to war, but...
Okay, well, let's concentrate, yes. on our issue right now, Iran,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, Iran, yeah. yep. And, yeah, as you were saying, you know, I think maybe Bernie Sanders did it the lightest, where he didn't have to do the qualifying... He,
yeah,
is
his response
evil,
was better.
Terrorist, yada yada yada.
But then they're concentrating.
Trump shouldn't have done.
Yeah, but then they're concentrating on the personalities. Yeah, it will be Bernie Sanders. But how many of them have, mm-hmm. promised something and never did anything? And we can't rely on just some,
mm-hmm.
politician. And it's not about choosing a lesser evil, but I'm sorry,
yeah,
it's a whole,
yeah.
different discussion.
Yeah, yeah, that's
yeah, just
for
going
another
off track.
Day, and I think the consensus in the room is we're all opposed to the corporate controlled duopoly machine.
Yes.
So Bauman.
Yes.
I guess we have covered what, well, actually we haven't dived into, so we were all on the edge of our seats waiting, and I understand there was a 3-day period of mourning. Is that correct?
Yes.
After the assassination.
Yes, they said they were back after those 3 days of mourning.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking it was going to happen, you know, immediately sometime after midnight on Sunday. So we sort of got in an extra day. Am I correct in the timeline? Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure all of our viewers know, but just to, from my understanding, and anyone can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, it was 12 missiles that struck two air bases in the more northern area of Iraq. They were fired from Iran to hit the bases. Is that correct?
That's the general understanding.
Okay.
Getting disconnected. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah, you could take them off if it's... okay. I'll let you know if your audio is going in.
Sure. The general understanding is because nobody heard that they were, I mean, the Iranian news agency actually had videos of these rockets and missiles as they were being fired.
Mm.
And they said that it's over 30 missiles that were fired at the bases.
Over
30.
Over 30.
Yes,
okay.
Over 30. It was original report in the West, too, that over 30 were fired.
Mm-hmm.
On this side, on the U.S. side, they say 12 has hit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Mm. Okay, so that's
I don't know if it's accurate either, because there was another report that the Iranian targets were hit with very much high precision. Only one missile landed, you know, before reaching.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened to the rest of 18.
Okay.
So again, that's another story that we have to figure out. So, but the numbers don't matter here. It's a question of the whole dynamic that has started right now.
Yeah.
I agree that my perception is that the ruling class in the United States is not unified on this approach, not the whole idea of policy.
Mm-hmm.
They have had Soleimani in their crosshairs from the beginning. And that has been going on. It was a question of whether they should go forward or not. That was not an issue of whether one way or another they should neutralize him. So I think, first of all, they said that the New York Times was the first to announce that Pentagon was stunned by this. I remember.
The
format they said that the Pentagon, in its briefing of the president, gave three options, least to the most severe. And this one was the most extreme. And the Pentagon expected that, emphasizing that this is the extreme one. Probably president would choose the first or the second, but he chose the third. And they were stunned by that choice. That's what the report says.
Oh, yeah, I heard something about that.
So,
And there might have been a resignation shortly after the high-level Pentagon personnel. I'm sorry if anybody can jump in here.
Oh, I haven't heard anything.
I haven't about that.
2 hours from
that. Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, one thing is clear. I think the U.S. military knows its limitations at this stage. And to me, just the limitation of the military is not just in military terms, right? How many missiles you have, tanks you have, technology you have, and all this. The whole thing has to be backed up by the economy of the system. And the U.S. economy is too weak to get involved in too many of these extravagant events.
I disagree.
And they are moving into new methods of war. The assassination of Soleimani was one of them. Coup d'etat in Bolivia, sanctions as a weapon of war.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are alternative methods. Drones.
Mm-hmm.
All are becoming an alternative method to direct involvement of U.S. troops.
I have a question.
And they are afraid of entering into that phase.
Okay.
Because they're not dealing with one single entity. The whole level of frustration of the rest of the world with the U.S. is so much that anything can easily lead to an explosion.
Like yeah.
That. And as a result, they do not want to get into that level of fight. And as you see how they stand it down, stood down immediately after Iran announced that this is done for us, we're not going to continue. And nobody expected from Trump to, because it's so far the U.S. has treated all these things as a question of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody fires a missile at us, it should not go without punishment. But here, the Trump administration, the Trump stood up there and said, well, there was no casualties. Like, we don't know that.
That
damage was limited. We don't know that. But at the same time, okay, now that they said they stopped, we stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Just now, Paulina, I'm sorry. Just no, to go comment ahead. On what you were saying, you're so right. Especially about the fact that it's in Trump's interest and stuff. But I think it also shows that there is a geopolitical conflict of different imperialist powers, such as Russia, China, such as the United States and the European Union. They all have their own interests in there. It's not just Trump's whim personality thing, as like a lot of people think it is more strategic than that, and the whole point of that is to put in interest to capitalize on to extract capital from the from the where you are trying to imperialize.
I know what you're saying.
I wanted to say something as well. There's been a lot of fear that people are talking about World War III, this is going to be the thing that sets it all off. But I was thinking what's more likely than a full-scale, drawn-out, like, Iraq-style war in Iran. I'm thinking what's more likely is this turns into a proxy war in Iraq between pro-US forces and pro-Iranian forces. And this will lead to another wave of bloodshed within Iraq itself. What do you think? Do you think that's likely?
I don't think.
You don't think so?
This is a scenario that is most comfortable to the US strategists that this would happen. I think as soon as the war started, Lebanon will be up in fire, Syria will be up in fire. Probably some of the other Muslim countries around the world will be up, and other allies of Iran. I mean, you're dealing with Russia right now, because it has military treaties with Iran. China does too. So we are talking about globalization of this whole thing, if not just a regional thing. But there is no way that it could be limited or constrained within the borders of Iraq.
Okay.
It's not going to be a proxy war. It's going to elevate into much serious stuff.
And can I step back a moment? And I might be wrong about this, but I did think that I heard that General Soleimani was in Iraq on a diplomatic
purpose. That's what the prime minister
purpose
of Iraq
is that. Oh, so
that
what
he
is.
He was arriving to, because apparently the scenario was that Iraq was mediating between Iran and Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Yes.
Soleimani was going to meet the Prime Minister of Iraq to respond to something that he had already conveyed to Iranians on behalf of the Saudis. So that's the story. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's how they presented it.
Okay, so you're saying that's the story, though. So do you think so
you have to understand that he has been in Iraq many, many times.
Okay.
What the purpose of this final last trip was? Okay, that you can limit it to diplomatic, but he was never there for diplomatic reasons.
Okay.
Since the attack on Syria started, and the whole Syrian government was under threat of collapse after a while, Syrians asked for Iran's help.
Mm-hmm.
Iran went in, and then Russians joined, and that turned the tide in Syria. Mm-hmm. But through this process, it became clear that a regional front for resistance is needed to confront U.S. interventions in the region. Soleimani was the strategist of that creation of that front of resistance by communicating with all various forces in the region, trying to bring them together as a force of resistance to defend all three countries. So,
and by all three countries,
Lebanon, Syria, Iran, Iraq. But Lebanon.
Okay.
So and he was actually the coordinator of the whole effort of resistance that managed to push Daesh back in Iraq, in Syria.
Okay.
That managed to, because Daesh and ISIS were more or less supported by the United States.
They were, was Soleimani
so
involved?
So fighting the ISIS and Daesh, which were helped by the United States, armed, financed by Saudi Arabia, U.S. ally, and all that. They were all involved in this. And Turkey, by providing the entry points to into Syria from its borders, and Jordan on the other side. So all U.S. allies were trying to bring down the Syrian government.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important because the Syria is the link between Lebanon and the front against Israel and this side in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Syrian government was to collapse, the whole front for the resistance would collapse. And the door would be open for next to, you know, if you look at the map and look at the U.S. bases, it's all over. Iran is surrounded by U.S. bases in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, with the 5th Navy, a 5th Fleet in the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
All nuclear weapons.
And how does that work for diplomacy when we have all of these military bases just, like you said, surrounding Iran?
That's the joke. That's the joke. If they didn't want to have a war with our country, why did they put their country right in the middle of our military base? I got it. We have to do a couple of quick commercials.
Okay.
We're going to get right back to this discussion. Thanks for tuning in out there. If you don't like commercials, just don't click off. Take a minute to share this out and ignore what I have to say. But you shouldn't ignore it. I shouldn't say it because there's important stuff going on around New Jersey Revolution Radio and our sponsors. Table tonight, if you want to get on the sponsors table over here next to me with the hammer and sickle, you can email us info@njrevolutionradio.com. On the sponsors table tonight is Intuitive Touch Massage. Our comrade Jamar is out there. We don't have a way of representing the massage on with the hammer and sickle tonight, so
he's
gonna
there.
He's there in spirit. You know, we'll plug a book for him. I should ask him a book, but Jamar, you can check him out. Intuitive Touch Massages on Facebook, and they're one of the sponsors of New Jersey Revolution Radio shows. So if you go check out our events and you look through our sponsors, you'll see Intuitive Touch Massage, along with, of course, you know, the coffee house and everybody else that supports us. So thanks a lot for that as well. We also want to remind everybody out there that Lead Women and Wellness is coming to the Cherry Hill Women's Center on January 26th. This is going to be, as we've been talking about with my comrade Heather Warburton of Wine Women and Revolution, just like any other world and just like any other industry, women don't get a fair shake in the world of cannabis. On top of it being an illegal substance in most situations, you know, it does have specific women's health issues and women's issues that surround it. So they're going to get together at the Cherry Hill Women's Center again, January 26th. Check out our Facebook page events for more information. And I have a feeling this ain't going to be the last meeting of Wellness, because we were talking about an overflow of women always living this year. So I'm really excited about what's going on there. And, of course, thanks to our contributors. You can see the expansion. I've been bragging about it all night. We are live no longer just on Facebook. We are live on YouTube, Twitter, my personal Facebook page, and a bunch of other things. So we're building out this network, and there's more to come. But it's thanks to you donating. And if you haven't donated yet and you've just been watching, now's the time to kick in, because you can see it at work. $5, $10, $15, $20, $50, whatever you got for Christmas that's left over. If you haven't spent it on beer or food or movie tickets or weed or whatever it is, then please contribute a little bit here. www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate. Thanks for your time. We're going to get right back into it. Diane, more on what's going on in the Middle East as a result of our continuing policies.
Okay, we are not in the Middle East situation. We are not dealing with government-controlled militaries that are involved in this, mm-hmm. these actions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of militia groups in Iraq and Syria that are on the side of Iran and Syria and Lebanon and all that. Mm-hmm. But they are not part of one military or part of one structure. Mm. Many of them may be, and they are, as far as we know, angry enough that may do things on their own in response to what the U.S. did.
Yeah, it could be something that's not... To avenge
the assassination.
Yeah.
And that could trigger another round of blame on Iran or on Syria or something else and start another round of confrontation. So it's not time to relax and think, okay, because of these two media reports by President of the United States and by Iranian government, then we are out of the waters. No, we are not.
Yeah.
And we have to be vigilant on this and be careful because anything can go wrong. Yeah. And knowing that the U.S., when they decide to do things, they don't even need real reasons. They can create one themselves.
We
have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And really not sit and wait to see what happens next, but take preemptive action in terms of defending it and keeping things from going out of hand right now. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it follows the pattern of what happened in Venezuela and so on. Mm-hmm. It's just the CIA is trying to overthrow a government, illegitimize.
And look what happened in Bolivia, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Bolivia, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they tried in Venezuela. It just didn't work very well.
Right. I feel like... as long as capitalism exists, so will imperialism.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is about imperialism, power, resources, and I think the best thing that could happen is getting our troops out of the Middle East, closing some of those foreign bases that take up a whole lot of
And I should also mention that
budget every year.
That the Iraqi parliament voted on Sunday on the 5th. They voted unanimously 170-0 to remove US troops from Iraq.
Small correction.
Oh.
The vote was 176-0, but the total number of parliament people is over 300.
Oh, so
the ones who were pro-US staying did not come and vote.
Oh, so, okay.
Although the parliament had the quorum and its vote is legitimate.
Oh.
But the opposition boycotted it.
Oh, okay.
They didn't come to vote. So, but
it's still essentially.
But they had the majority, they had the quorum, and they voted.
U.S. out.
Had they had a full parliament there, would it still pass?
Still pass. Yes.
So they had the votes anyway, but
for probably they didn't come because they knew they didn't have the votes.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, if you could beat it, right? Like, wants to help. Yeah.
That's the same way they did it in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the election of the parliament. They boycotted because they knew they didn't have the votes.
Yeah.
And then after that, they said the vote is invalid because we weren't there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And ironically, Trump did say he was going to get our troops out of Iraq. So now Iraq is saying, get your troops out of Iraq. And they're also saying that the death of General Suleiman is actually uniting Iran.
Yes, yes.
So there was an opposition faction that at least for now is
and
becoming
the opposition faction has, of course, condemned the death of Soleimani.
Of course. It's against international law. It's
yes.
Just overstepping.
All political parties in Iran, all factions, unanimously together,
are united,
condemned what the United States did, and
at this point,
we're very powerful and strong against the in their condemnation of the whole thing. Yes.
So we're hopefully getting one thing that we want out of this would be get our troops out of Iraq. And ironically, the CIA imperialist government is assisting Iran in nationalistic unity right now, correct?
Yes, but again, I have a word of caution that mm-hmm. we shouldn't think in terms of troops being there or out of there.
Okay.
Because with the new technology they have, if they can come up with an alternative drone project that could replace the troops, they will pull out and we think we have won. This is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And I should also
add, they talk about nuclear weapons, people, and they think that if we eliminate nuclear weapons, now they're coming with laser weapons and all those other alternative weapons from space and all those things. Maybe nuclear weapons are not helpful anymore. There are better weapons, least expensive to do that. So we shouldn't be fooled by the form of things in this war issue. The question is recognition of international law. The question is respect for the sovereignty of nations, regardless of whether you pull out your troops or not. If you take out the troops and put in these sanctions that kill thousands of people every day, what's the difference?
And
it's still war.
Trump,
it is still war.
Yeah, Trump said he's going to.
Yeah, and it's war in disguise. People do not see it as war because they think, well, this is an economic policy.
So true. War is reduced to troops because sanctions is also a part of economic warfare. That's exactly what you said.
Bill Clinton's sanctions on Iraq killed hundreds of thousands of people.
I
should also add the
children.
Yes, the Iraqi parliament, they didn't just vote to remove troops. They also voted to remove the United States from their airspace as well. That's another part. But of course, that's even easier for the United States to violate.
Yeah.
So even if they remove the troops, which they're unlikely to do, they would still maintain a presence in their airspace, which would again be violating Iraqi parliament.
And the drone that killed General Soleimani came from Qatar. It's in the area, but they don't need to be in Iraq to assassinate and to...
U.S. has many allies in the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia, Israel. So it's just... I'm trying to be more specific, but I cannot for whatever reason. But I'll just end on that. That's okay.
Okay. So one thing that I don't know how you guys feel with what occurred and how your weekend was, but I know a lot of us were frantic, and this can kind of segue into our discussion of events.
Yeah.
We did have a quick impromptu rally in downtown Newark in Military Park on Sunday. And I think one thing we all need to do is all of our groups need to figure out a form of communication so we can have everyone show up at once and mass mobilization as quickly as possible. And speaking of, we do have a global day of action coming up on January 25th. That's a Saturday. And there are some of us in the northern to central area of New Jersey who are organizing the anti-war, no war with Iran rally. It'll be in front of the historic courthouse in downtown Newark at Market Street and Springfield Avenue. There is a Facebook event. What is the title of that Facebook event?
No, I've actually got it up on our screen share right now because of our awesome new studio right now. You can see it. No War with Iran.
Okay.
Yep, there you go. You see,
okay,
that's what our viewers see up there right there.
Okay, great.
So there you go.
No War with Iran Facebook event page. Something else that's coming up, I'm going to be on that weekend, and I know Bauman has been involved with this, so if I'm missing anything, please chime in. Sunday, January 26th from 1 to 4, it is the Venezuelan Embassy Protectors Tour. On the 26th, Embassy Protectors Collective is coming to Princeton, 217 Nassau Street. All four arrestees will be present to talk about this extremely unique case.
Yes. Prior to that, on the 25th, we're having another panel with the defenders, protectors in Highland Park,
yes,
at the Reformed Church. So,
what's the
date?
There's
two events: January 25th, 7 to 9,
mm-hmm,
Highland Park, Reformed Church, and Princeton, 26th,
mm-hmm,
1 to 3 p.m. And the address is?
For the 25th is the Reformed Church.
No, yeah.
And yeah, the Reformed Church in Highland Park is on the 25th. And then on Sunday, it is at 217 Nassau Street in Princeton, right in the downtown Princeton area. Lovely area. You can get a bite to eat before.
Yes, we have a Embassy Protectors Defense Committee that has been working for almost the time that they arrested them. Mm. There's a website for it, defendembassyprotectors.org. We have a lot of articles, pieces by Kevin, Margaret, and others about their case, what the trial is looking now. But an important thing, the urgency of this situation is that they have had several hearings about the evidence and the procedure and stuff like that. In the most recent hearings, the judge denied them the right to talk about Venezuela, about Guaido, about Maduro, about why the U.S. is involved in this. The reason why they did that, they went to the embassy, that the fact that they had the permission of the legal Venezuelan, legitimate Venezuelan government, they are not going to allow to say that to the jury there.
That's ridiculous.
So they are denied the right to provide evidence instead of their own defense. That's one.
Wow.
The judge at the hearing also called them a gang.
Hmm.
And said all evidence shows that you guys are guilty. So in a sense,
Yeah, it's
the fate madness. Is sealed right now, it seems, so far as the judge is concerned, and we don't think that with the jury we can do any better with this whole propaganda machine that's at work at the level of society. So they are not very optimistic that the fight is going to be very hard. We have to redouble our efforts. This trip that is starting in New York, People's Forum on the 24th, and then New Jersey, and then Connecticut, and then back to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tour to talk about the mm-hmm. trial situation and do the fundraising, extreme fundraising, because we originally estimated that it would cost about $60,000 to provide the legal fees for the attorneys and everything else.
Yeah.
Now with this court trial looking the way it is, it seems to be it's going to be dragging on. So the $60,000 probably should be doubled in the time, but we have raised so far $45,000, over $45,000for it. So we want to finish up the $60,000 and be prepared for more if necessary.
Yeah.
to so we have a big political and financial battle before us.
Yeah.
So political, we need mass movement. We have designated the January 22nd as a day of action in support of defenders of the Venezuelan embassy. Okay. We are calling on people that we're going to put out the flyer soon.
Okay.
Calling on people to call the prosecutor's office number and leave messages that they want the charges dropped.
Okay.
This year shooting for 24th, with no new events. Okay. 22nd, I'm sorry.
Oh, the 22nd, just before the tour begins.
Right.
Okay, and we'll keep
so
our viewers.
That is going to come up also.
Okay.
We are printing postcards again to be mailed to to the prosecutor's office.
Okay.
calling for dropping the charges. Probably Kevin and Margaret and others will bring some of those cards.
Yeah.
So these are the things, but we have to redouble our efforts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's... things doesn't look good with the... And the problem was, when I was talking to them, we would, you know, we have our meetings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the appeals situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the appeals court in Washington, D.C. even worse than this.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's a fight. It's going to be a fight.
Our criminal justice system is another show altogether, maybe someday.
And
how
you know,
it works,
the penalty for them, the punishment is 1 year imprisonment, each one of them, yeah. And $100,000 fines.
$100,000?
Wow. Each one and 1 year in prison. So definitely the website is defendembassyprotectors.org, and we're going to have the events up. So if you can't attend, at least give a small donation. Also, coming up in February, I'm going to throw this out now, but we're going to be talking about it again. And I know NJ Revolution Radio will want to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Is the UNAC conference in New York City, February 21st, 22nd, and 23rd.
Okay.
At the People's Forum in New York City.
An international trip.
Yep. We're going to go over international seas, rivers. And that is the United National Anti-War Coalition, where we're going to have wonderful speakers and panelists, like our very own Bahman Assad, who is in the fine country of New Jersey, representing U.S. Peace Council. We're going to have Ajamu Baraka with Black Alliance for Peace, Margaret Flowers and Kevin Zeese, who we're talking about. They are the Venezuelan embassy protectors, and they're with Popular Resistance. We're going to have our favorite comrade, Margaret Kimberly, with Black Alliance for Peace and Black Agenda Report is going to be there. Abby Martin, the journalist and filmmaker. So we're going to have many other speakers, panelists, workshops, 3 days of, I think it's safe to say, anti-imperialism. You know, anti-war is important, but without the anti-imperialism...
It sounds like it's worth the trip. It sounds like it's worth the trip. All Marxist-Leninist Union. American
yes.
Party of Labor. You got about 30 seconds to tell us where the revolution is on your end.
I have two more.
What's the current things?
I have two more events.
You get to close it out, brother.
Okay, so then you'll be the end. Okay, John and Paulina. Events.
We have the American Party of Labor has a youth group which is called the All Marxist Leninist Union, or rather, we're involved with this group, and we hold meetings at Rutgers University in New Brunswick every Thursday, Scott Hall 221, at 9:15 p.m. And the first meeting of the spring semester of 2020 starts on January 30th.
Do you have a Facebook page or a website?
Yeah. Yes.
We have a Facebook page.
We do.
I think we sent you a co-hosting request for the show program. So
maybe.
Do that.
Yeah, just go to Facebook and search
All Marxist Leninist Union.
Whoa. Okay, excellent.
We've even got to cheer down.
I have two more events to emphasize also to remind people. One is March 13th to 15th is an International Day of action against economic sanctions, and it's a global action and 3 days of action. We are calling
sanctions
against killer sanctions. Yes,
and you'll
economic
give us more
war.
Information.
Yes,
as we get closer.
It's the website is sanctionskill.org.
Okay, sanctionskill.org.
Yes, everything, all the information about it is there. Secondly, now that we're talking about imperialism, the World Peace Council, of which U.S. Peace Council is a member, charter member, together with Coalition Against U.S. Foreign Military Bases, are organizing a 2.5-day conference in Larnaca, Cyprus, against imperialism. The international conference is called International Conference Against Imperialism. It is a question of bringing to the peace movement the whole issue of imperialism, which in our understanding, if you don't understand that, you cannot overcome the system of wars and destruction. So I encourage everybody to go to the website, cyprus-conference.org. Yes, all the information is there, all the list of speakers are there, the program is there, registration forms, donation forms, sponsorship forms, accommodation forms, everything is up online. You can get that, and I encourage everybody to register and come, because this is a qualitative shift from our BASES conferences, because BASES were only one aspect of imperialism, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. We want to go to the core problem this time, and it's a qualitative shift, in fact. So we encourage everybody to participate and come.
And when is that conference?
March 27th is a Friday. Okay. The same way we had it in Dublin in the afternoon, we're going to have a demonstration in front of U.S. Embassy in Nicosia. Mm-hmm. And then the next 2 days is going to be the actual conference. Yes.
Okay.
Cool. You got anything else, Diane?
She has been consistent partner in this.
So I'm going to have to go beyond the foreign waters of New York.
Hey,
okay.
It's a great place to be. It's a great to be. Place. It's so beautiful.
We had somebody.
And it's being kind of supported by the Pan-Cypriot Federation of Labor, which is the overarching labor union of the, and they are providing their rest houses.
Uh-oh.
To our participants.
This is why we have you and Diane and our international correspondents. I tend to keep to the house a little bit more, but we thank you for joining us. I mean,
who doesn't want to go to Cyprus?
Not a big, like, you know, I just, like, New Jersey Revolution Radio. But no, I appreciate you bringing those international experiences closer to home and for participating in our show. Thanks, Diane, for everything. I got to mention IDEVOX, too. But people got to check out IDEVOX with the hate rising in our country.
Yeah.
We're working on exposing the hate that's going on, the kind of groups that are promoting hate, and I gotta plug my comrade Daryl Lamont Jenkins and IDEVOX, so check him out. He's got some stuff going on that we're gonna be getting more into in 2020 as well. Mm-hmm. But that's it. I was having a blast over here, by the way, while y'all were having serious discussion. I was over here playing with the new toys, and I'm sorry for those of you paying attention. I think you saw the flubs, the little example screen I accidentally put up there, and I hope you didn't catch any of my passwords. I don't think it did any of that, but you know, I had a great time playing with some of this new technology, and it's thanks to you, our sponsors. One more time, www.njrevolutionradio.com to make a contribution, to listen to our podcast, to read our articles, to get more involved with our events. So until next week at 8 o'clock, where we will be at the Coffee House in Edison, I will be there to have some coffee with some CBD in it, maybe smoke a joint outside. We'll talk about, we'll get updates on what's going on in the Middle East, but also we'll talk more about what's going on here at home in New Jersey. Until then, this is Brian Powers, and I would like to remind all of you that the police can quit their jobs.
And this is Diane Moxley. Thank you so much for supporting us, and I will see you in the streets.
Thanks, everybody.